Walter didn't know when he chose that piece for the offering that he chose my very favorite piece of classical music in the entire world. I did a bit of a happy dance in my chair when I got the email. So I am one of those people, like many of you are probably, who finds wisdom in the most unlikely of places, in song lyrics, in movies, television shows. For me, it's The West Wing. And there's a wonderful story that is told by the chief of staff at the end of a particularly difficult day for his deputy. It goes like this. This guy falls in a hole, and he's stuck in there, and he can't find his way out, and he's hollering for help, and he doesn't know what to do, and finally this doctor walks by, and he says, "Hey, doc, I'm stuck in this hole. Can you help me out?" The doctor writes out a prescription and throws him in the hole. A little while later, a priest comes by, and the guy yells, "Hey, father, I'm stuck down this hole. Can you help me out?" And the father says a prayer and walks off. It's getting dark. The guy's getting scared, and eventually he sees a friend. "Hey, Joe, I'm stuck down this hole. Can you help me out?" Joe jumps in the hole. The guy says, "What are you, nuts? And now we're both down here." And Joe says, "Yeah, I know, but I've been stuck down this hole before, and I know the way out." I've been stuck down holes. I think we all have. For me, it was in 2003, 04, and I was struggling to make sense of my life. On the one hand, I was working in corporate America in a very high-powered environment. We were working 50, 60 hours a week, and pretty much the only people we socialized were the people we worked with. I had been transferred from Connecticut to North Carolina, so there wasn't a chance to actually meet people. We worked, and when we played, we talked about work. And it was very dog-eat-dog. There was always a sense of who had a little more power. And it was a frustrating place to be. And on the other hand was my personal life. And here I was, spiritual, queer, wishing I had time to go to church, longing for connection, and being alone in North Carolina, missing my family, and more, missing some loved ones who had recently died. I didn't know what to do. Parker Palmer, in his book Journey Toward Wholeness, calls this the divided life. And I was definitely living a divided life. It was making, ripping holes in me. And I thought, well, I'm not whole. I want to be whole. I have to be whole. And the more I heard messages and read books about how to be whole and listened to TV and advertising with all of these messages, how to fix your flaws in order to be beautiful, to be attractive, to be desirable, to be all the things you're supposed to be, the more those messages came in, the deeper I fell into the hole. The more broken I felt, because the perfume didn't do it, and the haircut didn't do it, and losing weight didn't do it, and I couldn't do it. I just wanted to be whole again. I thought wholeness meant that everything would be fixed, and I needed everything to be fixed. But it caused more pain, because like so many of the empty Madison Avenue promises, wholeness, the way it is sold, is a myth. Well, that ain't gonna work. So what's a different way? In my search for wholeness, I ran across a book called The Joy of Burnout, written by a psychologist named Dina Glauberman. And she invites you into that broken, burned out place and says there are three things to do. I like lists. They're fun. And here they are. Wait. Give up hope. Keep the faith. So, let's talk about those three things. Waiting means giving up the struggle, to take a break, to listen. There's this scene in The Hunt for Red October, the Tom Clancy book turned into a movie, where they're searching desperately for a rogue Russian sub. And the lead character is in the control room with the captain and says, you know, there's all these other subs looking for it, all these people are looking for it. And he says, but they're pinging so hard with their radar and not actually listening. He said, they could run over my daughter's stereo and not hear it. Because they weren't taking the time to stop and listen. It means we have to give up the struggle a little bit, to wait. And waiting is scary. It's scary in that dark hole. It feels awful, it's hurtful, it's empty. We're broken and we know we're broken. We are profane, we're not sacred, we're ugly, we're not beautiful, we're full of desire, but feel undesirable. But waiting can help us hear messages. The message of enough. Dina Globerman writes, I ask that tormenting question, why is it that you always give me everything but the thing I really want? And life, like a good Jewish mother, answered a question with a question. Why is it that whatever I give you, you still complain? Now that was a throwaway line in the middle of a paragraph, but it made me stop and think, and to wait, and to think, what do I have? And now I sat with a big journal and I started writing. Well, I had the journal and I had a pen. And then I realized, well, I have the desk that I'm writing this on, and I have these other pens, and oh, I have crayons, and oh, I have light, and I have enough money to pay the power, and oh, my cat came in. Oh, I have affection. I have. And in the middle of being in this empty hole, I realized I had a whole lot, which I wouldn't have done if I hadn't waited. Waiting can also allow us to hear messages from unusual places. Sometimes a message of acceptance, perhaps in a song lyric, in this case from Leonard Cohen. Ring the bell that you can ring. There is no perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Reassuring, wonderful, hopeful. Oh, thank God, I can be cracked open. And then you get to the second part of Dina Globerman's prescription, give up hope. What do you make of that? But here's what she says, giving up hope is letting go. It is the opposite of hopelessness, because it is trusting in ourselves and in what may be, given half a chance and loads of patience. It's largely about forgiveness and relieving pressure and giving up hope for a better past. Wow. I gave up hope finally when I realized I couldn't go back to corporate America. When I realized I couldn't bring back the loved ones who had died, when I couldn't change the choices I had made that got me to that point, for good or ill. I could only learn from what I had done and experienced. I couldn't change it. I had to give up hope. Which leads us to keeping the faith. Keeping the faith is about surrender, deciding we can trust ourselves and that we are already whole. No matter where we are and what our state is. And it is in this place where I invite us to meet a goddess, namely a Hindu goddess. Her name is Akilandeshvari. Ishvari in Sanskrit means goddess or female power, and the Akalanda means essentially never not broken. So meet Akilandeshvari, the never not broken goddess. Akilanda was introduced to me by a Canadian writer named Julie Peters, who writes this. Akilanda derives her power from being broken, in flux, pulling herself apart, living in different constant selves at the same time, from never becoming a whole that has limitations. The thing about going through the broken times is that one of the things you lose is your future, your expectation of what the story of your life so far was going to become. And this, of course, is terrifying. But look, Akilanda says, now you get to make a choice in pieces in a pile on the floor with no idea how to go forward. Your expectations of the future are meaningless. Your stories about the past do not apply. You are in flux. You are changing. You're flowing in a new way. And this is an incredibly powerful opportunity to become new again, to choose how you want to put yourself back together. Wow. Stuck in that hole, waiting, giving up hope for a better path, we get to choose how we want to put ourselves back together. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what anyone else thinks, no matter how many times we get messages that we are broken, ugly, worthless, undesirable, every bit of broken self is our key to wholeness. Like those Japanese bowls, you've seen them, the ones that are cracked and then they're mended together with gold and silver and platinum. They become whole again, every crack showing, but beautiful. When I started putting the pieces back together differently out of my own divided life, I realized that along with saying goodbye to corporate America and saying goodbye to the things that weren't feeding me in North Carolina, well, all of that wasn't enough. But I could do some of this work alone, but I couldn't do it all alone. We can't do it alone. We need each other. So now back to Parker Palmer. He writes this. The journey toward inner truth is too taxing to be made solo. Lacking support, the solitary traveler soon becomes weary or fearful and is likely to quit the road. The path is too deeply hidden to be traveled without company. Finding our way involves clues that are sometimes subtle and sometimes misleading, requiring the kind of discernment that can only happen in dialogue. The destination is too daunting to be achieved alone. We need community to find the courage to venture into the alien lands to which the inner teacher may call us. In other words, it's a good thing when Joe jumps in the hole with us. Now, of course, we do need the alone time, and that's a big struggle for us. Parker Palmer again talks about this. He says, solitude does not necessarily mean living apart from others. Rather, it means never living apart from oneself. It is not about the absence of other people. It is about being fully present to ourselves, whether or not we are with others. Community does not necessarily mean living face to face with others. Rather, it means never losing the awareness that we are connected to each other. It's not about the presence of other people. It is about being fully open to the reality of relationship, whether or not we are alone. The journey toward wholeness is yes and. It's with people. It's on our own. And it's kind of a hero's journey, right? You know, the hero's journey is depicted as someone who's going out to discover a truth, a thing, and bringing that back. The hero usually has tragic flaws, and that helps them understand themselves and others on their journey. What I like about the idea of a hero's journey, especially if you think about it in terms of a labyrinth, is that as you go in, you see things, and as you go out, you see the same things from a different perspective. So coming out of the hole is kind of like that. Kierkegaard says, life is lived forward but understood backward, and this journey allows us to look at where we've been, not to change it, but to say, okay, I did this, I did that, those things didn't work, but I can use some of those skills and some of those ideas and those relationships to make something new. So what? I had a homiletics professor in seminary who would listen to us all preach. And she would stop us at some point because we'd gone off on a rail. And she'd say, so what? So what's your point? So I have on my paper a big so what? So what? We are never not broken. You're not broken. You're never not broken. You're never not broken. You're never not broken. I am never not broken. We're all always human. Humanness is brokenness. But we are all human with all of our brokenness, with inherent worth and dignity. We are whole because we have holes. We are beautiful because of those flaws, like those Japanese bowls. We are desirable and lovely and loving because of all the ways we are never not broken. That's where the light gets in. And universalism teaches this. Robert Walsh wrote, "Universalists believe that the fate of a human being was like that. No matter how rough the trip might have been or how badly you might have behaved, at the end, you would come home, and it would be a place of trust, safety, and love." It's in the brokenness that it's in the living. That's where we live. That's where we experience and grow and change, and that's amazing. I mean, let's just take a moment and think about how our human consciousness lets us do that. That's pretty cool. So let's give ourselves a break. Whether we're in the hole, whether we're looking back into the hole that we've been in, whether we see another hole on the horizon, let's give ourselves a break. Let us wait. Give up hope. Keep the faith. Our holes make us whole. Our holes let the holy shine in and shine out. Our holes make us beautiful. When you start to crack open, don't waste a moment gathering your old self up into something like you knew before. Let your new self splash like sunlight into every dark place and laugh and cry and make sounds that you never made and thank all that is holy for the gift, because now you have no choice but to let all of your love and goodness and beauty spill out into the world. So may it be.
Please be seated for the postscript. I am beautiful in every single way.
with all you're due. Trying hard to fill the emptiness, the peace is gone. You left the puzzle undone, well that's the way it is. And you are beautiful, no matter what they say. Words can't bring you down. You are beautiful. Don't you bring me down today, no matter what they do, no matter what they say. You're the song inside the tune, full of beautiful mistakes. And everywhere we go, the sun will always shine, for tomorrow we might awake on the other side. For we are beautiful, no matter what.